Citizens of the Reject Nation,
this is Fallout Episode 2.
All right, Mikey, you ready?
Call me that again.
You got it, Mike.
You're going to have the nose of a ghoul.
Got it, Mike. Let's do it.
That was lovely.
Another solid episode that brought a little bit more of the bang, bang, action, shebang.
Pew, pew, pew.
I hope she's not chosen one thing special. The special thing.
That's a thing that Fallout does.
We'll see.
I mean, that's, you are the protagonist, and the protagonist is the Vault Dweller, and she is the protagonist, and the other characters are the companion. I mean, if they're following the formula.
But there wouldn't be, like, some prophecy.
I mean, it's, I think what's fun about the games is it's an RPG. So you as the protagonist choose which decisions you're going to make, which inevitably change how the game ends. I think what's cool here is that those decisions are out of our control, but they're still going to make all of those decisions very clear to us. And I think she's going to be tempted by a lot of those different options. I think what's kind of fun, though, is she's playing it like she's like a goody two shoes. And so I think her making some difficult, dark decisions as we go on this journey is going to be really, really fun and interesting.
I'm really curious as to why Amazon would drop this all at once. When
is that typical for Amazon, though?
No. Usually it's like the first three and then they go weekly. It's really odd to me that they would do that with this show when just from the first two episodes, I'm like, this feels like weekly shit.
I would have cliffhangered this.
I think
like nobody's business.
Last one ended with a great cliffhanger.
I actually, like, and like, sorry, Amazon, I would have waited. I think that was a huge mistake on their part.
And there is just so much to chew on.
Yeah.
But then you're like, I got to get to the next episode.
No, I want
to
chew.
6 to 7 more hours left.
No, I want to chew.
And it is very interesting when, I mean, not like most people will watch this all on the same day, obviously. But I really think it had the time where it could have been like a weekly conversation, especially since it's not just a retelling. But as it stands, I thought this was another great episode. I'm not really going to be like, which one do I like more? Because I'm trying to like take it as a whole streaming package.
Yeah.
But as the story is evolving, Lucy as this fish out of water, as they're drawing this line between like the good, the bad, and the ugly, I think it's a really great way they're illustrating our three main characters and just keeping that grounded quality again and the mystery afoot. I'm really compelled by everything that they're doing.
Yeah.
I feel like it's very gripping. And this was the episode that, last episode didn't really give us action. This let us see some of that action and see more of the ghoul being ghoulish. I thought was exquisitely violent.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, it was violent with a little bit of that. I haven't seen that in movies lately with like, let's do the slow-mo bullets.
Well, that's a big Fallout thing.
Is it?
Like the VAT system in the game is all about that like slow motion limb exploding.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So it was really fun to see that in live action.
I thought that was really cool.
I think what's really neat about the ghoul in particular is that there is this sort of a father that I'm going to assume lost his daughter and then a daughter that has lost the father.
Yeah.
And I think there's going to at some point be a really interesting collision and dynamic between these characters. I'm so curious where we're going.
Between Lucy?
Yeah, between Lucy and the ghoul.
Okay.
Because I think there's a lot of dimensions to him. I mean, I think when you live that long and you've experienced all the horrific trauma, there's a certain desensitized that I assume that he is at this point.
And it seems like he probably goes underground and then there's a little bit of evolution in the world by the time he's gone.
Yeah. Well, maybe I misread the situation. It seemed like he was being punished and was forced underground by that Don.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, yeah, no, it seemed like he was being like held there.
Yeah, as tortured, which is messed up. But yeah, I mean, ghoul life is kind of sad. Like, all of them lived through the bombs dropping, which means pretty much their entire lives were like upended. And then,
but they have the linkage to the before.
They have the linkage to the before, but they have this long life, but they also have this, like, number one, the stigma of they're like physically messed up, but there's also this fear of transitioning into becoming feral and losing their memories and becoming, in essence, a mindless, you know, zombie. And yeah, I've always found that like such an interesting like dimension of a character. So, man, yeah, I'm just super jazzed to keep going, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's super curious. It was really neat seeing their interpretation, like in the games, like in Fallout 3, there's Megaton, which is like a cute little city that's like built around a bomb. And then you have like in Fenway Park in Fallout 4, they've got a really cool city that's built. It's always like fun to see the communities that are built in Fallout. And I thought this one was like a really kind of neat sort of conglomeration of a lot of those different ideas all put together. And how they just like, they always find a way to make this like post-apocalyptic old West. And it's funny. I feel like some of the things that people really love about Star Wars, they were able to capture in this, and that it like feels lived in and dirty, and like every single set piece felt so intentional. And I just, I don't know, it was so fun.
I think the way they realize the worlds, from what I'm taking from Fallout, is like, it's like they kind of just take, what does this look like in real life? Now let's add a fantastical apocalyptic spin on it.
Sure.
And instead of working in reverse, you know? And I think that's what makes it feel realistic, makes it feel alive. And I think I love how thematically this episode was so much about challenging one's own preconceived ideologies. Like, that's what I feel like was happening with Maximus.
Yeah.
And even with, especially with Lucy, I feel like it's just gonna be like her character throughout.
Yeah.
You know? And then with Michael Emerson, which I love that prologue of the journey with him and the dog. I think it's a really clever show. Like how the last episode ended with him hunting, with them going, we gotta find, what's Michael Emerson's character name? The scientist? A scientist and his companion, right?
Yeah.
We got to find a scientist and his companion. So it seems like villainous.
Yeah.
And then when it cuts to here, the show gets you connected to him at the very beginning because he's the one who wants to save the dog. He's like literally having like a save the cat but save the dog moment. Mm. And when he gets his leg shot, I'm like, oh no, I like him. I want him to live, you know? And then him instilling the hope and saying like you could change a few, it is flipping it on its head of what you'd expect while keeping this amalgamation of like dread and horror and just constant sense of irony, like that music aesthetic. It just keeps providing a sense of irony.
It's one of the most wonderful parts of Fallout.
Thank you to G2A for sponsoring this video. G2A stands for Gate to Adventure, your portal to digital entertainment. Offers everything from software to video games to gift cards for Amazon, Netflix, and more. All with the convenience of instant delivery and products at discounted prices. But why choose G2A? Because in a world where every penny and second counts, G2A honestly stands out by offering not just unbeatable prices, but also lightning fast access to the digital content you love. They ensure you're getting more for less instantly. And from the 22nd of March to 14th of April, there's a special campaign running offering big discounts for games, great offers, and special limited time daily deals. So in the springtime, you can get games like Helldivers 2, Tomb Raider, Star Wars franchise, Baldur's Gate, Elder's Ring, Hogwarts Legacy, and Fallout, man. It's a Fallout time with the show coming out. Do they got the Fallout game? And it looks like they do at great prices right now. So you can unlock extra savings with the progressive discount code G2ASPRING. You get 10% off when you spend up to 25 euro, snag 15% off when you spend over 25 euro, snag 15% off when you spend over 25 euro, enjoy 20% off when you spend over 50 euro. So you can click the link in the description box to dive headfirst into Gate to Adventure's digital realm. Bask in digital glory, seize these unbeatable deals today, and discover why G2A is your essential gateway to adventure and savings in the digital world.
Like for me, like the Ink Spots is one of my all time favorite music groups, which is like weird and jarring for people that like my music taste like stops at 1950. And I feel like Fallout introduced me to all of it. Like I can sing every one of these songs, but the juxtaposition of like this like dark and dreary and then that like upbeat positive music, But that's what the series plays so well on, is it takes the bright and the optimism of this time period, and it takes this dystopian, like the underbelly, the reality of it, and shows it for what it really is.
Yeah.
And I that's something I've always admired about Fallout. Like, at its core, we always idolize the 1950s. You know, it's like, oh, America, you know, this is that golden period. But at the end of the day, moms were on mommy's little helper, on pain pills, and alcoholism was out the wazoo, and racism was at an all time high. It's just all of these realities were there. And on top of that was this impending threat of an apocalypse.
Yeah.
And yet we have it into our mind the white picket fences, a refrigerator in every home, and two cars in the driveway, and Fallout, I think, plays on a lot of those stereotypes in a really interesting and fascinating way. And, it feels especially relevant now, of this idea of what really is, an optimistic, hopeful, what really is the underbelly? And the vaults kind of, they pose a lot of those questions. Even when Lucy was having the conversation with the woman, the clerk, about we want to save America. And she's what, how, what, why? There is nothing to save. And unfortunately, I feel a lot of people have that mentality now. Right. I love storytelling is always interesting when there is some real oomph to it, and there's something that you can really dig into, and Fallout does a wonderful job at, I don't think it's trying to tell you anything in particular as much as it's encouraging you to ask yourself your own questions and to come to your own conclusions. Well, what did you all think? I'd love to hear your opinions below. And I'm so excited for the next episode. I'm sure you're probably watching it or have already watched it. We're going to watch it right now. Be sure to ring that notification bell. And I hope that you've been wearing your radioactive protection gear. And if not, you have your Geiger counter ready to make sure that you're in the clear. And we'll see you in the next episode.
Landon Miller. Now, when I think of the name Landon Miller, there's two names that come to mind here. First one, Christopher Landon, who is the Highlander and is the Raiden from the original Mortal Kombat.
Look out.
Meaning you are some type of mystical leader of sorts. Miller, I think of Frank Miller, meaning you are some type of... stout,
edgy,
bad postured, curmudgeon artist of sorts with a real dark taste.
Nihilistic vibe.
But super artsy-fartsy. So you put the two together, man, and you got yourself a conundrum.
You got yourself a dictator, perhaps.
You probably, someone who...
Good leader, but he's also kind of bleak.
Immortal godlike abilities, but at the same time, he wants to see a hell reign over because he's got a negative outlook on life, and he wants the rest of the world to experience it.
Sounds like some Shang Tsung.
Frankly, that's kind of like that's the energy that we want here at Real Reason.
We do.
We're not so much about positivity as we like to tell we are.
It's
the
heel turn.
We're trying to get some darkness up in this bitch, and I feel like Landon Miller, you are the one to provide some edgelord mysticism.
The official edgelord, edgelord of the Reject Nation.
My brother, thank you so much for indoctrinating us into the dark arts. Appreciate you, man.